I'm real thankful for the praises to God from all the music today. It was really powerful and heart-changing, for sure. And here in Philippians 3, God's given us correction. He's given correction to a joyful church. So sometimes when you're real close to the Lord and walking well, every day is still in need of correction, and God's faithful to do that for us. Otherwise, we go in the error of our ways. You know, things keep getting worse and worse, and it's just not a good thing. One of the first jobs I had was working in a restaurant, a busboy, which consisted of set the table, take away the dirty dishes, and stay out of everybody's way. And I had about five bosses, and they let me know who the boss was every time I went to work. But there was one dear person who was the hostess, you might say, hostess, yeah, of the dining room. They inspected all the items that I put out, and if any of the glasses had like a smudge mark on them, you know, and she would see one or two. All the glasses are dirty, take them all down, get them all washed, and put them all back. You know, and I was like, oh, man. But apparently it was good for those who would drink the water later, didn't want my thumbprint in the middle of their water. Can't blame them for that. But the correction helps us, helps others. So the man in prison, Paul, he's given correction to the church. He uses strong words like dogs, and in the King James, verse 9, instead of rubbish, it says dung, okay? Dogs and dung. You can't get any more down to earth than that. But that was people's attempt to be at peace with God or right with God based on what they did, based on their own religious efforts, okay? So watch out for the dogs and don't fall in the dung. And, you know, correction is softened by God and the Apostle Paul when he says, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord, before he says, watch out for the dogs, okay? And my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's good for us to remember. A good teacher once said, before they would correct any student, they would put their hand on their shoulders for support and say, you know, this is kind of how you do it. It's good for parents to be that way, teachers to be that way, bosses to be that way. And so you know that you're being helped at that point. But the Lord, he's making himself known in the passage as the correction is happening. And he's mentioned eight times here in the 11 verses, which reminds us that the whole Bible is about God. Okay? It's a book from God, about God. It's really not about all the people in the Bible. They're helpful to know, but they're not the main characters. Okay? God's the main character. Old-time teachers say the scriptures are Christ-centered, Christocentric. And that's a lesson for us. If the Bible is a book from God about God, then your life and my life is a life about God. From God, about God. It's really not about you or me. It's like a wake up that can set us free. That our life is about what God is doing as our creator, sustainer, savior, and home forever. So if you see your life about God, I think it really does your heart good. Oh, I can trust now. I can live trustfully. If you think your life is about yourself, yeah, there is a fellowship of two-year-olders out there. They're glad to welcome you, you know. We all fall back into that on a regular basis. And so your life about God, from God, and here's the Lord in the Scriptures, rejoice in Him. We could do that while even being corrected. Worship God by the Spirit of God. We need God's help to worship Him. Interesting, in the New Testament, God doesn't give a whole bunch of details on things to do to worship God. He doesn't give an order of worship. He doesn't say A, B, C, D, E, F, G. People do that. That's fine to do. But really, worship is our heart being at peace with God through Christ and giving Him thanks. Okay, worship by the Spirit of God. We glory in Christ. He's the most important one. We do things for the sake of Christ. Paul wanted that. He wanted the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ our Lord, surpassing greatness. That's like the phrase, I have it right here, priceless privilege and overwhelming blessing of we get to know the King of the universe. How could that be? You know, that'll knock us over. And it doesn't compare with any other excitement or thing we get into. Appreciate Frank attacking the golden calf of football, you know. One of my favorite golden calves, I have to confess. But compared to Christ, oh my, you know. Just wipe away the whole thing, wouldn't be missed, you know. And so on. Oh, I'd miss it for a while. But surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, that I may gain Christ as a gift. Righteousness through faith in Him. So the goodness starts to shift from Paul and what the Philippians were doing to the Lord. It's a big shift that can take place in our soul. From you and I, what we're doing, to the Lord. Oh, you'll see the contrast there in the passage. And he says, I want to know Christ. Know is the intimacy there, like you know your spouse. Know. But still getting to know. See, you might be married. I like talking to these folks who've been married 60 years, 65 years. Oh, I'm still finding out about her, you know. She's quite a gal. Different mysteries that God brings forward. This is your relationship with Jesus. But it tells us nothing we do is more important than Jesus. All these activities that the Philippian church were good at and they were to be commended to, they didn't match the glory of Christ. And Jesus is far more important than the things we do for Him. Somebody says, what's it mean to be a Christian? You know, and you say, I know, means I do this and I do that and I do that and I do that. And I pray and I go to church and I read my Bible and I help to help the ones who need help. And there you go. They say, are you a Christian or are you a Muslim? What are you doing? You know, what about the Lord? See, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Oh, okay, I get it. Something about Him wins us over. And, of course, far more important than the things we do for Him. And Paul wanted the people to not try to earn their goodness before God. So the big caution was about that, the warning about the dogs and so forth. It was the issue of circumcision they were dealing with, which was an Old Testament. Do this so you could be a signal that you belong to the Jewish people. And yet, it wasn't to be the righteousness that only God can give. See, you and I. So it was like the Philippian church was struggling. Was it a mandatory thing or not? What are the mandatory things you and I do that sometimes we could say, well, it's kind of like circumcision, you know? And these are pretty important things. I would say in today's context, our circumcision is like, it's gonna shake some of your side things here, but have Jesus shine, okay? A mandatory view of baptism, you know, how you think of that, what you think of baptism. We need people to be baptized, by the way. It honors Christ greatly. But that's certainly not the key of salvation. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, God didn't even send me to baptize. He sent me to preach Christ, to push forward Jesus. So it's an important thing. Mandatory views of the Lord's Supper, precious time, not the way to heaven. Not the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. Mandatory church membership, pushed by the pastor, loved by the pastor, not the righteousness of God. Mandatory tithing, mandatory anything, except to live is Christ. See, He is the one and only Savior. So the activities we do, and Paul did and the Philippians did, they didn't want to get their standing from their activities. They wanted to get their standing from Christ as a gift. And they would remember that salvation was to be received, not achieved. Just that Lord moving toward us in our helplessness. Paul, I'm going to pass on this part about the debts and losses that he mentions, but we're to have a righteousness that comes from God and not from us. And we know in the Bible, the Lord is called the Lord our righteousness. Now, Paul boasted about being a Hebrew and being a Pharisee, which was pretty strong. You know, Pharisees believed in the absolute truth of the Old Testament. They really did. They believed this is the Word of God. They would fight for it to the death. But they didn't know the Lord. See, it's possible to say, I believe in the absolute truth of the Bible and not bow your heart to Jesus. Just ask the Apostle Paul. That was him. And so Paul said, I could boast about these things, but I'd rather know Christ. That's much more wonderful. What would be other boasts that people get into, kind of like a religious boasting? We can talk of friends. Hopefully we become friends to Muslim folks. Their basic boast is this. This is what the stress is. Pray 5 times a day with your face to the ground. Okay? Recite a creed. It's very short. Go without food for 40 days during the daylight. Nighttime, you could eat the pie and the big pizza and the, you know, steak and just you know, like some of us do at the after sundown. But don't eat during the day. Okay, that's their way of saying, oh, I'll be close to God. Go to Mecca, give to the poor. That's an honorable thing. But compared to Jesus, this rings hollow. Who's going to save these dear folks? Who's going to give their life for these dear folks? Who's going to love these dear folks when nobody else will love them? That's all they're doing is blowing things up and, you know, all that. Christ would be the only Savior if they would open their eyes. And so to boast in that, if a Muslim was to write Philippians 3, this is what they write. This is what they would write. What about a contemporary Pharisee? This would be Paul could write this with just change Sunday to Saturday for Paul. But this could be the modern day Pharisee's boast, which a lot of it, I feel like, I really like the first two, you know, as a pastor, and I always had a mentality, I just want to share this as a weakness, which you could pray for. If I had a job, I would never miss work. Never. I would have to be virtually fever of 110 not to go to work. I always go to work. Same with school. I don't think I missed a day of school like 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. All the time school. That's just my mentality. And so church, I'm the same way with church. I figure the Lord, church, I'm on it like a, you know, dog on a bone. But without the Lord, what does that count? We do it for the love of God, not for the attainment of anything. So the modern day Pharisee, which we want to say, Lord, we're susceptible to this. You get to the service. That's supposed to be a praise to God. Bible every day. Apostle Paul would say amen even before he was converted. Tithe. Holiness based on what I don't do as opposed to Christ. And then Jesus described he was picking on the Pharisees when he said, years I have been slaving for you. That was what the older brother said about God. Okay, like the father rather. Like he was saying, oh, you should pay attention to me, Lord, because look at all the things I did. Good. Anytime we say that or go down that road, it shows we're forgetting the Father, how much he loves us. And we're forgetting that he'd give us himself as a gift. He says to the cranky older brother here, hey, all I have is yours. So you could come and celebrate. So we want to not have this as a part of our boast, but instead, Paul said, I'll count this as loss so that I might know Christ. really know Him. And Spurgeon gave us advice here. He said, hey, if you think of the perfect goodness of Jesus, it'll give you quietness, peace, strength in your soul. If you think of only your corruption and sin, you'll be downcast. It's rough to be downcast. If you're susceptible to being downcast, you know, God understands. Jesus was downcast in Gethsemane. Jonah was downcast after a good message he gave. Elijah was downcast. God understands when you're broken, and He wants to come alongside you. We should know that. But think of Jesus when you're downcast and His goodness coming to you and your salvation's resting solely on Him. This is what Paul's saying to the dear Philippian church. And then Paul says, I want to know Christ, the power of His resurrection. So the good news is not this, hey, do your best. The good news is Jesus is your best. Jesus is your best. So you have a lot going for you as a son or daughter of the God. And here's a little bit to know Jesus. Just think of His greatness. These are some things that came to mind when I thought, let me to know Jesus more and more as time goes on. Again, like you know your best loved one. He's glorious. He's majestic. In a sense, before Him we say, oh my. He's holy. He's the closest one to us, a friend. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. He's Lord. He's driving the ship of our lives. He's all good. He never did anything against you. You know, He's for you. He's all-knowing. He's Savior, because we can't save ourselves. We have a big sin problem. He loves. He's love. He's peace. Christ is our peace. The forgiveness we desperately need is Him. That's how I came to Christ. I said, I don't know not too much about Jesus. He says He's the Son of God. But if He forgives, I need that. Because I couldn't forgive myself. And nobody else was lining up to forgive me. It was Jesus. The grace of God, His strength, truth, love, and mercy, life and mercy. So much to know Him. We say, wow, we say thank you. To know the power of His resurrection, Paul said. And again, what are we trading? We're trading this for this. This looks pretty important, but compared to this, this is like, some people fall asleep in the midst of this right here. They really do on a regular basis. They can't even drag themselves out of bed to participate in this right here. But this. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. The power of His resurrection. We're forgiven. Set free from the penalty of sin. Being set free from the power of sin. Somehow, some kind of relationship with God where we're seated with Him. Our home's in heaven. We're chosen. We get to witness for Him. Remember that good old song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. There's probably about, just venture conservatively, there's probably about 30 people going to sing that song to you in heaven. You say, no, you know, I didn't say anything about the Lord for 50 years. It was your life following God that people said, there must be a God. So I think Jesus is real because this guy is living the way he's living and even saying what needs to be said. We're on God's mission. We're a recovering sinner. Christ is in us and the fruit of His Spirit. And then most importantly for today, just to know God's help, the fellowship of Jesus' suffering. He suffered at the cross. He suffers when we suffer. His sympathy for us makes us strong. Some of you are really good at sympathy cards. Keep those cards going across the aisle and across the neighborhood, you know. Sympathy. You know who sends sympathy cards every day? Jesus sends sympathy cards every day. to us when we suffer loss. So he sympathizes with our weaknesses. It's part of his character. All our sorrows God has experienced at the cross from eternity past and even now. So we say, I'm in pain. Nobody understands how much pain I'm in. Two people know, you and the Lord, and that's about it at that moment, you know. So the fellowship of his suffering, God cries a lot, God loves, and God helps. It's a fellowship of Jesus' suffering. Don't be afraid to cry a lot if you're a child, son or daughter of God, because we know the Father cries a lot. Here's some examples. The Lord was grieved when he saw all the sin. This is before the ark. He says, this is heartbreaking. And he does something about it. He could have got on the ark. Most people didn't want to get on the ark. God is distressed when we're distressed by all the things. You have a little child and they can't find something. I see it, the heartbreaking thing, you know, mom and dad get the child a hot air balloon, you know, and they look like the happiest child you see that day. And then they're walking around and then, there they go, you know. And the child is just heartbroken, you know. And the parent says, you know, I'll be quiet, just held tighter, you know. Bad parent. But you're sympathetic, you know. You say, oh, I feel bad that balloon went up. And some parent says, let me buy you five more right now. No, that's, but let's do something together to get through this. God's distressed when we're distressed. God's compassion is aroused for us. This was written when a gal, Gomer, left her husband Hosea. And God says, that's how I feel about you guys, like you're leaving me. And then God, his compassion is aroused for the people when they are at their worst. What was the most sinful day in your life? You know, oh, there was about 40 of them, you know. At that time, God was moved to bring you back to himself. Oh, sure, he got after you and there was pain for in your soul. But he was there to help, wasn't he? Jesus saw the city wept over it. The Spirit groans when we groan. And he's called a man of sorrows. He carries our sorrows. The fellowship of Jesus' suffering. And so to know when we say, I put away my goodness, I take the goodness of God, that he'll walk with us through the painful times, in addition to the resurrection times. And I don't know about you, we could all not even selfishly pray, Lord, we certainly do know the suffering times, so let's know the resurrection times too. Okay, by the grace of God. And as we do that, we humbly admit that we live in a section of the world where, at least in terms of daily bread and a roof over our head, and a flushing toilet, we're not suffering like 60% of the world who doesn't have daily bread, roof over their head, or flushing toilet. We say, we remember. And we'll be a part of passing on what God has passed on to us. But the greatness of the gospel, Jesus is our best. Don't trade him in for your and mine little resume list of Christian virtues. Christian virtue. The Lord Jesus Christ. And anything else the Lord wants to bring. Icing on the cake, fruit of the Spirit on the tree. However he works it. And we're glad for his love for us. Let's pray together. Lord, give us trust in you as opposed to what Paul was trying to correct. And we see it in our own souls. Religious resumes, would pull it out and would start rattling it off. And maybe some say, wow, but you don't say, wow. You say, oh, my son can help this one. And thank you for your mercy, your grace. Give that love each one of us needs, a strength of your continuing work in our lives, and good news especially to share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.